I just want to say tonight that if you're here, you're at a good place tonight, because Jesus is excited about you. It's not only about Him in this room tonight. I'm going to say something radical tonight. It's actually not only about Jesus. You know, if it was only about Jesus, Jesus wouldn't have had to die, because there wouldn't have been people and there wouldn't have been sin. So it's not only about Jesus tonight, it's about you and Jesus tonight. Amen. In fact, Jesus is so excited about you tonight. He wants to come and dine with you tonight. He wants to come and meet with you, because He doesn't want to be alone in heaven. In fact, He's not alone, because He's already a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're together, but you know, God is not happy to just be God. God wants the pinnacle of His creation to come back to Him. So I want to say tonight is about you. Tonight Jesus is here to meet with you. And I want you to open your hearts tonight, each one of you. Because I know He is so excited to come and touch your life. He's already busy doing it. He doesn't need songs. He doesn't need worship. He just needs your heart. He's more excited about that tonight. In fact, He's more excited about you living a life that is pleasing to Him. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what you're experiencing right now, because He's excited that your heart is drawing to Him. You're seeing a glimpse of Him. You're coming to Him. You're responding to His awesomeness tonight. And I want to say He loves you so much. Maybe you're uncomfortable yet tonight. Maybe this is new for you. Maybe you've never experienced God in this way. I want to say just sit there where you are. Just hold on to your seat. Just wait for God to come and show you the next step. Wait for God to take you on this awesome journey of serving Him and living for Him. Because He set up this appointment very specifically for you tonight. And He's faithful. He's faithful tonight. So Lord, we thank You that we can be here tonight. We thank You that You've drawn us to this place. Lord, some of us have been invited here. Some of us have just come, because we always come every Sunday. But thank You for tonight, Lord. Thank You that You want us to stand still and just take a moment and reflect on the fact that You're pursuing us, Lord. More than we seek You, more than we try to find You, more than we try to run after You and desire You, Lord. You desire us. You pursue us, Lord. And we thank You that, Lord, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You, Jesus, that everyone in this world, Lord, can know that one day they can realize, Lord, that, Lord, even in our sin, You still loved us. You still came to us. You still came as a man on this earth. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for identifying with us. We just worship You with our hearts tonight, Lord. Our hearts are ready. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in this place. And Lord, we say, don't stop, Lord. We want to spend our lives with You, God. We don't want to wait for one day to be with You, Lord. We want to be with You now and forevermore. And we choose, Lord, to let nothing separate us from Your love. We choose to let nothing come in the way of this precious relationship, Lord, between You and us. And we thank You for that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Just greet someone next to you. Tell them you're looking good tonight. While you're finding your seats, I just want to give a shout out to all the people that are serving our church tonight, the band that was on stage, the ushers, the people that just make Sunday happen. Can we just give them a hand, everyone who's serving in church? I want to thank you guys. And I really want to encourage you, if you do want to be part of serving, being part of just giving your life to Christ, then please come and help us. We love to see people enjoying building God a house. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone next to you and say, God is in this place. God is going to speak to you tonight. I remember my 21st birthday party like it was the other day. Okay, I know it was only 8 years ago, but I mean, I remember it like it was the other day. Okay. Anyone 21 yet tonight already? Or anyone who's not 21 yet? Yes, there's a couple of young people in our church. So some of you have had 21st birthday parties, but I'll never forget my 21st. I was really blessed by what my parents did for me that day. And I can't find this key. I was given a key with a ribbon on it, and people wrote notes on it and just said, you know, may the next 21 and may the next 42 and the next however many years be a blessing. And people blessed me and wrote notes. And you know, I felt incredibly, incredibly celebrated that night. You know, we had a big party, a marquee tent out on the farm there. And we're dancing and, you know, my friends came around and the family was there. And it was just one big celebration. The fact that I had come of age. I was 21. And I think it's a desire for all of us. So I don't know about you, you know, but there's a desire in all of us to be celebrated. And tonight I want to talk about this thing called celebration. In fact, we're doing a month of sermons, a sermon series this month called Celebrating Life. If you've got the newsletter, the email, you'll see the theme of this month is Celebrating Life. I want to talk a little bit about celebrating people tonight, but I believe tonight I want to you to leave this place feeling celebrated, not by people, but by a God who loves you. Amen. A God who's really excited about your life. Because all of us have the desire. And I put up a few A's on the board, yeah, words that begin with A. You know, now all of us have a desire now for attention in some way in our lives. All of us have a desire for acknowledgement. All of us have a desire for acceptance. All of us have a desire for approval and affirmation and appreciation and affection. And some people have the 5 A's, some have 3. I just got all these words that begin with A that kind of make you feel good, isn't it so? All of us have this desire. If we can have these things in our lives, you know, we'll be quite happy people, wouldn't we? But we don't always get this out of life. In fact, sometimes we get rejection and sometimes we never get acknowledged for what we've done or even for who we are. Some of us never get accepted. We just feel rejected. We feel disapproved. We don't feel affirmed. We don't feel appreciated or given affection. And so we go through this life of this fallen world that we're in and the fallen people that are around us. And sometimes we feel like the opposite of this. We don't feel very celebrated. So I kind of put all these words into one thing called celebration. I believe if you can have all of these, then you what I say, you celebrate. And I felt that night of my 21st. I felt celebrated by the people that loved me. I felt celebrated by everyone who was there. Some people couldn't make it, and I believe they also wanted to be there. But so I felt very celebrated. And each of us has this desire in our hearts. You know, we should be celebrated at birth. Isn't it amazing? When you look on Facebook these days, okay? Facebook is now called Baby Book, okay? Because whenever a baby is born, okay? You guys aren't in the getting kids phase of your life yet. Some of you are. But for us and our friends, you know, whenever there's a kid being born and there's a photo on Facebook of this kid and the kids aren't always very cute, you know, they look a bit ugly, but I guess every parent thinks their baby is cute. But I think there's a celebration of every life that is born, every new life. The likes on Facebook just multiply when a baby is put, a face of a kid being born or a face of a kid's party. It's like just celebration all over. So we should be celebrated at birth. Maybe some of us weren't celebrated. Maybe some of us were not wanted, but we just came into this world. But we all should be celebrated at birth when we come out into this world. We should be celebrated every year. In fact, most of us do that. We have birthday parties. We kind of celebrate just another year in our lives. Isn't that so? So we celebrate these things. We celebrate our birthdays. We celebrate when our 21st, or maybe, you know, in the Jewish way of doing things, it wasn't a 21st. It was a 13th birthday when you came of age. You did the bar mitzvah thing, or, you know, some people do it, and we'll probably do it with our kids as well when they come of age actually at 13, so that they don't go into adulthood uncertain of who they are, because sometimes we wait too long to tell someone you're coming of age. That the Jewish people did it at 13. The boys were put on the men's shoulders and said, you know, now you're a man. So you don't have to do the things of a boy anymore. You can start to take responsibility and be an adult. But whatever, we celebrate it when we come of age. And we celebrate it even when we get old. Every year we get old. And when we die, we should also be celebrated. My point this evening is that all these celebration phases are nothing to do with anything that we've achieved. Isn't that so? In fact, when you come out and when you're born, you haven't achieved anything. You've just come into life. Your parents might have achieved something. The fact that you were conceived, I guess, they had to do something. Okay, but we won't go into that tonight. But well done to them. They got something right. But you were celebrated, but you did nothing. And every year that you have a birthday, you celebrate it because you just got a year older. But you didn't necessarily do anything. You didn't necessarily achieve something. And even when you're old, you will celebrate, even when you die. And some people are celebrated for what they do. But I believe celebration in our life shouldn't have anything to do with what we have done, with performance or success. And many of us associate celebration with something that we have achieved. And tonight, I want to trust that God speaks to you tonight, that you are celebrated not because of what you have done, but because of who you are, because you're a person. So I don't know what your perspective is of celebration tonight. I don't know if you've maybe never felt celebrated, or maybe you have, but tonight I just want to remind you that you're not only celebrated by people around you, but the most important celebration is that of the greatest man who's ever walked this earth, the greatest God, the only God. He wants to celebrate you tonight afresh before we start this new term. So I want to look at a scripture here in Luke chapter 19. It's a scripture about a man and another man and a crowd. Okay? A man and another man and a crowd. And Luke writes in Luke chapter 19, he writes here, he says, Jesus entered Jericho and he made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Luke starts off with the description of this certain man, okay? A certain man, he had a name. He had a title. He was the chief tax collector. And he had a status. He was rich. And what's significant about this story, I want you guys to think of this. Some of you know the story. The significance of this story is, what does the Word of God say about a man who is rich? This is the miracle of the story. Luke mainly writes about the good news to the poor, about the fact that Jesus came to seek and save the poor people and to minister to the poor. But what is amazing about this story is that here he's ministering to a rich person. And the Bible says about a rich person, it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now that's physical. A camel going through a needle's eye, very small, that is impossible, okay? So he's saying it's almost impossible for a rich man to get saved. In fact, it is very close to impossible. But then he says, you know, with God all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. With God all things are possible. So that is the background to this story. This story is specifically about a rich man. So this man, unfortunately, also had a shortcoming in his life. Had the kortkoming gehad, okay? Excuse the pun, okay? He was a little bit short, so he had a shortcoming, okay? You can laugh in the house of God. It's exciting to be in the house of God, isn't it? So he was a little bit short. So all of us have a shortcoming in some way, isn't that so? Some of us have physical shortcomings, but most of us have shortcomings in our life in some or other way. So this man was just a normal man. He happened to be rich, but he happened to be someone that the Bible actually said it's impossible for this man to actually get into the kingdom. So that's a bit of a background. So Luke mentions this man, and I guess from the scripture that this man was not very popular at all. This man was actually a sinner according to the people around him. He was the worst of all sinners. He was a chief tax collector. He collected too much tax. He should not have collected the tax that he did because he worked for the Romans, and so they tended to kind of steal from the people and make people pay too many taxes. So the people were not happy with this guy. So I guess he was feeling a little rejected by society. I guess he was feeling alone. And here he is, and it says that he tried to get a look at Jesus. He sought to see who Jesus was. The New King James Version says he just wanted to see, who is this man that is attracting this massive crowd? Because, yeah, Jesus was moving, and he didn't want to stop in Jericho because, you know, he didn't feel like he had a purpose there specifically. And so he wanted to pass through Jericho. He was on his way somewhere, on a mission, crowd following him, everyone trying to get to him, and he's just going. And yeah, this man is caught up in the crowd with his shortcoming, and he decides, I better do something about my shortcoming because I want to just catch a glimpse of this guy, this other man in the story. He's so popular. What is about him? So I would say that Zacchaeus was a man just like any of us. A man with a name, someone with a name, someone with a title, someone with some kind of responsibility. I don't know what your responsibility is at the moment. You might not be a chief tax collector, but you might have a responsibility to pass your studies. You might have the responsibility of a parent tonight or a child. You're a child to someone. You have a responsibility in life. You might be a leader in your res. You might be a cell leader, a zone coach, whatever. You've got a responsibility in life. And same with Zacchaeus. He had this responsibility. And he had a status. He was rich. And he had a shortcoming. And all of us can identify with this. We have some kind of a need. But you see, Zacchaeus had a desire, just like all of us, a desire to be celebrated, a desire just to be recognized. And to have that need fulfilled in his life. And all of us have that need. All of us have a need to just be recognized and to be celebrated. And most of us try to find it by doing stuff. Isn't that so? We try to be recognized and celebrated. If we achieve something, then hopefully someone will see us and we will be recognized, and someone will say to us, well done. That was good. And so Zacchaeus had this desire because he was, I think, quite successful, I guess, in his business. But he had this desire, and this desire caused him to be curious, to just catch a glimpse of this amazing guy. Maybe this guy is going to change my life. Maybe this guy is going to just see me and recognize me and say, you know, you're a good tax collector. Well done. And he had this desire. So how strong is your desire tonight? Are you willing to do what Zacchaeus did and run ahead of the crowd and even climb up a tree if you have to overcome your shortcomings, to overcome the barriers in your life, to overcome whatever is preventing you from catching a glimpse or even meeting this man? Because that's what Zacchaeus wanted to do. He just wanted to catch a glimpse of him. And we know that the other man in the story, Jesus, had other plans. So let's look in verse 5. So yeah, Zacchaeus is climbing this tree and he's seeing Jesus, and it's amazing. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by his name. Isn't that amazing? He looked up and he saw him, and I can imagine this look that Jesus gave to him. A look that must have changed his life. First of all, it must have been amazing for him to realize, but how does this amazing, famous man that's walking on with this crowd, how does he know me? He's never met me. Here he gets a word of knowledge. Zacchaeus, I see you. Isn't that amazing? John Gill, one of the commentators on this passage, says the following. He says, Christ knows where his people are. Christ knows where to find them, and Christ knows where they commonly dwell, or where at any time they are, he being God omniscient. In other words, God who's present everywhere. And tonight I want to say that Jesus Christ is looking at you and he's noticing you and he's saying, Maranay, Melissa, Tiens, Javi, Ed, Linky, he's saying to you, I notice you. I want to look at you. I want to see you. And I know your name and I know everything about you. I know the responsibility that you have. I know the status that you have. I know the shortcomings that you have. And I can see the fact that you've overcome your shortcoming. You've overcome the challenges. And I see that you're trying to see me. And you know what? I've noticed that. I see that you're putting in effort to get out of the crowd. You're putting an effort to see me. And you know what? I see you more than you see me. I know more about you than you now know about me. And you know what? I love that. And I want to say this evening that Jesus Christ knows more about you than you know about him. And you know, we sometimes seek God with everything, and we strive many times to live this Christian life, and we are seeking God. And you know, sometimes it seems like we can't find God. Isn't that so? We so try, and where's God? And we haven't heard his voice. And then we get despondent and depressed, and we get intimidated because other people are seeking God, and they just seem to be anointed and going with stuff and running with stuff. But God just doesn't seem near to me. And I want to say the good news for you tonight is that God is seeking you more than you're seeking him. Amen. That's good. Tell someone that's good news tonight. God can see you. God could see everyone. Jesus could see everyone in that crowd. But he noticed someone specific. He noticed someone who just wanted to get over his issues and just decide, you know what, I'm not going to let my shortness get the better of me. I want to see Jesus. I don't necessarily want to meet with him, but I want to just see him. And so I'm climbing this tree to just see him. And the words, I think, that he said must have changed Zacchaeus' life. He said the following to him. After he said his name, he said, "Quickly, Zacchaeus, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. I want to dwell with you, Zacchaeus." And I believe God is saying the same thing. Jesus is saying the same thing to you tonight. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to come and live with you. He doesn't want to just come and visit you. And obviously, yeah, Jesus is limited. Jesus is limited in this passage because he isn't not yet glorified. So he's still a limited man. He's a physical man. He can only be at one place at one time. But the good news for you tonight is Jesus is no longer a man walking on this earth. Jesus has left his Holy Spirit, his presence, to dwell with you every single moment of every single day. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we're so focused on what happened at the cross, and that is amazing. But you know what happened is the resurrection happened so that Jesus could go away to the Father. And then he said, "I'm going to send my presence to dwell with you." That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is not about signs and wonders and all this other flaky stuff. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' presence with you and with me every day. That is amazing. Amen. That is more than the healing that you can receive or the miracle or whatever you can receive. The amazing thing is God's presence with you, God Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit with you every day. And Jesus wanted to say that to us through this passage. I believe that I don't want to just come and visit you. I want to live with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to be in your house. I want to know your name. I want to know your challenges. I want you to relate to me and have fellowship with me. And that is God's greatest desire. God's greatest desire is that he meets with you and he meets with all his children all over the world. Because so many are still lost. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Maybe tonight you haven't, you know, given your life to Jesus, and it's fine. Then tonight you're at a good place because Jesus is not lost. He's finding you, and he will find you until you give over to him. He will give you the choice. But if you're a Christian tonight, if you're a believer, then Jesus is excited to remain with you. He doesn't want to leave you. He doesn't move on to the next person. You know, so many times in church we can get so caught up with, Jesus has probably moved on to that guy. He's getting saved tonight, so I think he's more focused on that guy than on me. And Jesus is not. He's focused on everyone at the same time. He's so awesome. He hasn't moved on from you. And I want to say that to someone here tonight, you think Jesus is just, he's left you kind of, you know, he's giving his full attention to someone else and kind of half his attention to you. And I want to say that's a lie. He's giving his full attention to you. The thing is, you just need to give your full attention to him. So don't walk away from him. Don't look away. Don't get discouraged. Jesus is wanting to look you in the eye and say, you know what? I want to dwell with you. I want to stay with you. I want to live with you. But you see, then there's always responses. When Jesus comes on the scene, you know, there's always different responses. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down in verse 6 and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Isn't that amazing? That is one of the responses that we should give to Jesus, is joy and excitement when we meet with him, when he sees us and he recognizes us. That's what we experience tonight when we worship him. We start to meet with Jesus, but you know, we can respond in, I suppose this is for someone else, or we can respond like the people. They were displeased. He's gone to be a guest with a sinner. This is unfair. And they grumbled. And so there's always two responses. When heaven meets earth, when the heavenly man meets the earthly man, of which we are all earthly people, then there's a response. Either we can go the way of obedience, like Zacchaeus did. We can obey God and come down and just follow his footsteps. Or we can decide to be like the crowd and look on and say, sure, look, this is unfair. Well, why is that guy meeting with Jesus? And you know, what about us? And so many times we need to get out of the crowd to have this excitement and this joy, because if you're just going to remain in that same place, then you'll get critical, you'll get jealous, you'll get envious, you'll start to evaluate, you'll get judgmental. But I believe all of us want to go the way of Zacchaeus and respond and come down from the tree. Come down from even the place where you've overcome your shortcomings and you have to climb up to see. And Jesus said, you know what, come down. Don't just see me, be with me, fellowship with me, have intimacy with me, have my presence with you. And so he came down, and you know what happened? Jesus celebrated him. Because that's what dining and eating with people mean. It's a celebration. You know, Jesus didn't talk about his sin. He didn't talk about anything else. I don't know what he talked about. I presume he did challenge him on certain things. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. But all I see is there's a response to this celebration. Isn't that so? There's first of all a response of obedience, and then there's a response here, which is so amazing to me. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. So now he's with God, Jesus in his house, and he's fellowshipping with him. And he says the following. He says, listen to this response that he gives to Jesus' presence in his life. He says, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. That is amazing. Let's just think about that for a while. Think about that response. A rich man, the Bible says it's impossible basically for this guy to actually enter the kingdom of God. It's going to take a real miracle. And yeah, in a moment of fellowship, in a moment of meeting his Savior and his Lord, the one who he needed acceptance and affirmation and all the A's, the one he needed to be celebrated from or by, this is the response that when Jesus came to celebrate his life, this is his response. I'm going to give half of my wealth, and I've got a lot of wealth. It's difficult for me, but you know what? I'm just so joyful, and I'm so glad that I've met someone who can fulfill me. I don't need wealth to fulfill me. I don't need material stuff to fulfill me. I need nothing to fulfill me. I found my fulfillment. I found someone whom I want to be like. And you know what? I'm going to start to give because he's a giver. And so immediately he starts to imitate Christ in his life, and he gives because that's who Christ is. Jesus must have rubbed off on him in some way. You know, Jesus had a heart for the poor, and Jesus ministered a lot to the poor. But yeah, he's coming to minister to a rich man, and the Bible is trying to tell us, Luke is trying to tell us, yeah, Jesus can save anyone. Isn't that amazing? Jesus can meet with anyone. No one is too far from him. Tonight, maybe you feel, you know, maybe you're a bit far from God because your life is so focused on other things and you so struggle to give over to Jesus. I want to say your life is not too far. You can give over to Jesus completely. And you can follow him. And you can start to give. You can start to have a desire to give half of your wealth. Imagine that's 50%. That's not a tithe, okay? You know, no, we're so focused on the tithe. Let's give 10%. This guy's giving, I don't know what you call 50%, but he's giving 50% of what he has already. That's a lot of wealth. That's the kind of thing that Jesus does in our lives. Isn't that so? That's the kind of thing Jesus does when we meet with him. Because his desire is to have all men to be saved. His desire is to have all men to become like him, to follow him. That's his greatest desire. You know, we have lots of desires, but his desire is to come and dine with us and just live with us and to change us. I call this true repentance. And it goes on. He says, if I've cheated people on their taxes, because that's obviously what he had done. He's not saying that he might have done that. He's actually just trying to say he has done that. He's cheated people. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give them fourfold back. You know what we would do? We would normally give back just what we owe. Isn't that so? Who would do the good Christian thing, you know? Who would do the good shofar thing or the good, you know? I'll just give back what I've stolen, okay? That's right, isn't that so? But he says, I'm not just going to give back what I've stolen. I'm going to give back four times. I think that's massive repentance. That's restoration. That's a miracle. That's what happens when we recognize Jesus and we obey Him and we start to dine with Him, and then He rubs off on us and we become like Him. We become a restorer. We become someone who brings restitution. We give back everything. We owe no one anything. We can be like Paul to say, you know, the blood of people are off my hands. I've done what I needed to do. I don't owe anyone anything. I'm not holding grudges. I'm not holding forgiveness back. I've given everything. I think that's incredible. I think that is what Jesus wants from our lives. Imagine this kind of thing happens in South Africa today, okay? We're in a country where there's a lot of people who've stolen from people, isn't that so? I mean, all of us sitting here, I guess we feel we've been stolen from in some way by the chief tax collectors in our day, okay? And we see what's happening. We see the corruption around us. And so we think things are a little bit unfair. But what happens if the chief tax collectors in our day, and of which we are also, because we've also stolen in some way from people. We cannot blame other people. Okay, so don't blame the government. We're all corrupt. We all do bad things. We all need Jesus. But imagine if top people in the government decide, you know, we're going to restore to this country fourfold. I think that would be the start of revival, wouldn't you say? I think there'd be amazing things happening if hearts started to turn. Not do good stuff, but just turn to Jesus and start to have Him change our lives. But what happens if you restore fourfold that which has been stolen from you? What happens if you forgive in advance? Because that's what Jesus did. He forgave in advance. That's radical transformation, radical hearts change, radical repentance. What happens if you decide to forgive now to the people who are already going to do wrong stuff to you later on in life? Imagine if you choose to forgive before it's even done to you. That is amazing. What happens if you choose to just go beyond just what is right? You know, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. What happens if you go beyond that? The Bible is full of that. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, He talks about that. He says, I've come to bring a higher level of the law. I've come to bring a place where you don't just commit adultery. If you look at a woman lustfully, then you've committed adultery. It's like this is this fourfold thing where we just have a higher level of obedience, a higher level of purity in our lives, a higher level of worship unto God. And I want you to think, what is your response when Christ comes to celebrate you? Because He's celebrating you tonight. I want to say that He's celebrating you so much, and you know what? You're going to be overwhelmed by His celebration. You're going to be blown away. You're going to be the wave of His love and His grace is going to blow you away, and then you're going to have to start to make some calculations. Fourfold, 50%. If you're a rich man, if you're a poor man, or if you don't have a problem with finances, then I guess you'll have to make other calculations. This guy happened to have to make calculations because his wealth was his idol. That's what he lived for. And so that's what happened in his heart. When Jesus comes to our lives, guys, He starts to take on those idols, those things that we live for. You know, that sport that you so love, or the body that you want, or the look, you know, or the selfies. It's all about you. And then He starts to change your life, and He starts to look into that place where He realizes, I want to be this thing that you're so worshiping. I want this money now. You know what? It's not about giving to the poor. It's just about, I want to be your satisfaction. I want to be your fulfillment. And I think that's what Zacchaeus experienced. This money thing and this job that he had and the status that he had wasn't fulfilling anymore. In fact, it just took second place. And God is amazing because God takes that which is bad and He turns it for good. And He says, you know what? Your wealth, I'm going to change lives with your wealth. That which is supposed to be evil and which has become an idol in your life, I'm going to use it to bless the world. What does God want to use in your life that He's busy changing as you respond to Him? True repentance from the heart. The freedom that Christ can bring to our hearts. That's the freedom that I desire for you tonight. And I believe Jesus desires that for you. As He celebrates you, He wants to bring you into a place where you can forgive, you can give, you can be forgiven. You can receive forgiveness. You can restore. You can be a builder. Amen. The building we're supposed to, you know, build God a house, or, you know, God's building. That's our theme for the year. Be a builder. Forgive. Give. Be forgiven. Be free. Live. A life that's holy unto God. That's pleasing unto God. And here's Jesus' response to what he says. He says, salvation has come to this home today because he also is a true son of Abraham. And this must have made the crowd incredibly jealous or incredibly like furious, because how can this man, a sinner, the chief of all sinners, be called a true son of Abraham? I mean, Abraham's like amazing. You know, he's like our father. That's what the Pharisees were saying. You know, Abraham's our father. Who are you, Jesus, calling yourself the son of God? Abraham's our father. And he just says, you know, this man is a son of Abraham. Who is Abraham? What did God say in the Bible about Abraham? In Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that so? Abraham is our good example of faith. Abraham had faith. Abraham simply believed God. And he did what God said. And that's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus really believed that this was God. Because his encounter was so great that he realized, you know what? I can believe this guy. This guy's got the keys of life. He's talking the truth. I want to listen to him. I want to be with him. I want to have him change me. And so in the same way that Abraham, that's why he's called a true son of Abraham. And I believe tonight that true sons and daughters of Abraham need to rise up. Amen. Some of us have forgotten our faith. Some of us have lost our faith or lost our confidence in God. And God wants to restore your confidence in him tonight, that you're a son and a daughter. It doesn't matter what you've done, good or bad. But it's about your response to God. It's about how are you seeking him and are you responding to him? And do you just want to see him and stay up in that tree, or do you want to come and dine with him as he invites you? In fact, he's not going to invite you. He just wants to come in. You don't have to go anywhere else. He wants to come to your house. He's so amazing. You know, Jesus is amazing. He came to earth. He didn't expect us to come to knock at heaven and say, Lord, I repent of my sin. Will you let me in? He came to heaven. I mean, from heaven to earth. He came to be a man. That's the incarnation principle. Jesus became one of us, and he wants to dine with you. He wants to come into your heart. All you need to do is just respond. And you know what? The angels must have been rejoicing over Zacchaeus' life. Because somewhere else in Luke, it talks about the angels rejoicing. There's three parables in Luke chapter 15. One of them was about a lost sheep. And at the end of that parable, Jesus says there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. The next one is the parable of the lost coin. Same thing. He says, if there's going to be more joy when one sinner gives over to me than over 99. And there must have been incredible joy in heaven. And I want to say that the greatest celebration happens when one sinner repents and turns to Jesus. Isn't that so? That's what the Bible says. The greatest joy is when someone comes from darkness into light. Because Jesus said, yeah, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And I want to say tonight that we can enter into the celebration as well. Maybe most of us here, we believe and we've given our lives to Jesus already. But I want to say that the greatest joy you can partake in is when you can see someone else being a Zacchaeus, with a testimony who starts to change, starts to give over their lives completely. I'll never forget when I started to pray for people. You know, I led a couple of people personally to Christ, but what was so amazing to me was coming forward with an altar call and praying for people who give their lives to Jesus. It was an amazing experience. Being a facilitator there, and you know, they've prayed the prayer, and then you take them one side and you start to share your own story, and you get excited about this guy who's just, he's made this commitment. It's mind-blowing. And you know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we get so happy with our own Christian lives that we forget what it is to bring someone else into God's presence and to get excited when they start to change. Isn't that so? Maybe we need to also start to see the Zacchaeuses and start to pray for the Zacchaeuses. But you and I can be part of the celebration. The greatest of all celebrations is when the angels rejoice when one sinner comes to salvation. But I want to say tonight that God is rejoicing over you as you turn away from that which is not pleasing to him. When you become more holy and when you say no to temptations and start to live a life consecrated to him, you know what? That same joy happens. That same joy happens in your life. going to end off with this. What if you and I really knew and believed how much Jesus really loves us as individuals? Amen. You know, we can get caught up with the group thing and the church thing, and that's good. I love church, and we need to do things as a team. But, you know, we can get caught up and get almost hidden in the crowd where we were just part of this crowd. And so, you know, we're part of this certain church, and so we're going to heaven because we're part of this church. We did the right things, and so we're going to heaven. And this story highlights to me Jesus' love for the individual. Isn't that so? Jesus celebrates the individual, and he's celebrating you. He's the other man in the story with another desire, to know you. You might have a desire to just be acknowledged and to be affirmed and to be celebrated and to have all your needs met. And you know, it's fine. That's a good desire. But I can tell you that desire will fade when you start to see his desire and you start to meet with him. And his desire is to save you, to give you joy and to give you peace. But you know what? His desire is for many to come to salvation, for all his children to come back. And what happens if you and I really knew how much he celebrates us? You know what? I think we'd do the same with other people. I think we'd start to celebrate other people. I think people would start to see the Jesus in us who's walking with the crowd many times, in our churches, so busy with stuff, and then suddenly we'd see the Zacchaeus in the tree. We would see the need out there. We'd see someone who's just looking for Jesus somewhere. We might just notice that person. And you know what we'll do? We won't say, repent. Because you know, that's what we do. I don't see Jesus saying, Zacchaeus, repent. I see you're a tax collector. You're such a sinner. No, come Zacchaeus, come and eat. I celebrate your life. I celebrate the fact that you're born. I love you. Come, let's talk. And you know what? His life changes. And I have a suspicion that maybe, and I'm talking to myself here as well, that maybe we don't celebrate others because we don't feel so celebrated by Jesus or by the church people, you know. Who's celebrating me? You know, I just feel so heavy and burnt out and I'm just being used. You know what? When you said to Jesus, here's my life, he said he'll use you. So if you feel used, that's a good thing. Amen. Enough. Some people who want to like step down now. Okay, I'll just. Any leaders want to resign? Yeah. Only joking. But you know, we sometimes so focused on what he can do for us, and he says, you know what? I just want to celebrate you. But you know what? I want you to. Your greatest joy will be when you celebrate the Zacchaeus that you need to see, because I want to use you to see the Zacchaeus, because I can see him. I can see all the lost people. You know, that's amazing. Jesus knows exactly who needs to come to him. In fact, he knows who's close. He knows who's going to reject him. He knows all the people that are going to be in heaven one day. That's amazing. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Have you ever thought about that? So he knows the people who are going to choose him. So let's be his hands and feet. Let's be his eyes and start to see who the Zacchaeus is on. Start to celebrate them. Not judge them. Just celebrate their lives. I think we'll make a difference. I think there'll be people wanting to come to Jesus when they see his love through us. Maybe, just maybe, they'll recognize Christ recognizing them. They'll see that Christ is recognizing them and celebrating them. And I think we need to start to recognize people. Just for being people. Not for which church they're in, or are they spirit-filled, or are they baptized, or what. Just start to recognize people. We had an amazing time this week. A friend of mine and myself, we ministered to a guy, and he opened the door for me, and this guy's lost his job and he's going through a tough time. And so we just invited him for breakfast at a coffee shop and just prayed with him. We said, you know, we want to pray with you, we want to stand by you. I'm sure it's tough. And we prayed for him, and he just said, sure, you guys have got faith. And I could see a hunger in him start to develop of just, he wants this as well. He wants something that we've got. And we didn't say any. I just shared my testimony because he asked about the charismatics and the different church. You know, one always gets into church stories again. I just said, you know, if it's more about church than about Jesus, then we've missed it. It's about Jesus, and you know, Jesus. And I shared my own testimony. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit and how, because he said, you know, he cannot pray like openly like this. He cannot pray like in public. He prays quietly and in his head, you know. So I just shared my own testimony because that's exactly where I was. So he said, you know, this is amazing. But we just blessed him and we encouraged him. And We'll continue to pray that he comes to know Jesus fully, surrenders his life. But I think we should start to see the Zacchaeuses who are in need. The Zacchaeuses who are maybe just looking for Jesus. And I think we can make a difference, guys, on this campus. We can make a difference wherever we go. If we just open our eyes and say, Jesus, my life, it's yours. I'm busy. I know I'm running around. But Lord, sometimes I need to just get out of the crowd as well and meet with you, that you can show me. And so I want us to hand out the communion, and the band can come forward this evening. Because all I want you to do this evening is I want you to respond in two ways. I want you to think about this now. First of all, some of you just desire to be celebrated tonight. Then all I want you to do is respond to Jesus. In your heart, right there where you are, just respond to Jesus. Because he wants to celebrate you tonight, okay? You're the most important person here tonight. Because I believe if we don't experience Jesus' celebration and where he sees that we are the Zacchaeuses, we are the ones that he's noticing, then we've missed it. He wants to celebrate you tonight. So in whichever way, maybe you need to climb the tree, okay? Maybe you need to get out of the crowd tonight. Then I want you to do that in your heart. Just climb that tree. Or maybe you need to come down. Because maybe you're seeing Jesus and Jesus is just saying, you know what, come, dine with me. Just come down. I want to be with you. But it's important that you see me. So if you need to climb the tree, climb the tree. If you need to come down, come down. But take the next step. Amen. So I don't know where you are at your life. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus tonight. I just want to say, just respond with the next step. Let's just leave some of the lights on because I think the poor ushers will struggle to see. So that's the first group of people. You just simply need to respond to Jesus tonight because he is celebrating you. You are special to him tonight. And then the second group of people, you desire really to celebrate others. You find it so difficult to celebrate other people. You find it difficult to connect with people. You find it difficult to see the strange man in the tree. Then maybe you need to ask Jesus, I so want to reach out because, Lord, that is actually another need. Just like I have a need to be affirmed and acknowledged and all of those things, I actually have a need to make a difference. You know, you can ask anyone in this world, what do you want to do? And whether they're believers or unbelievers, every single person has an inherent need to make a difference. Isn't that so? Just think about it in your own life. You've always wanted to make a difference, even when you were small. As sinful as we are and as self-focused as we are created in the image of God, guys. And you know, one of the desires of God is to make a difference in other people's lives. That's why he made a difference in your life. So you have a desire to just celebrate someone else. I want you to just ask Jesus to give you the grace to do that. And I want you to make a commitment even this week. Let's be practical. Let's make a commitment to celebrate at least one person this week. If not one person every day would be great. But start with this week. Give yourself a challenge to celebrate someone else this week as you wake up every morning and celebrate or allow Jesus to celebrate you. Before you go and celebrate others, just allow him to celebrate you. We visited my grandmother in the old age home this past holiday and it was such a blessing to Hester and I. You know, my dad asked us to go and visit his mom. And we walked in there and, you know, she was very down. And, you know, I want to ask you guys, do yourselves a favor. Go visit old people sometime. It will change your life because you start to realize, what is life about? What am I going to be at the end of my life? When I sit here and all I've got is a little room with a bed and a few things and they bring me food every now and again, you know. But what is life about? Life is about people. Life is about relationships. And we prayed for her, and it was such a blessing to just make a difference in her life. Just celebrate her and listen to her story. And sometimes it's awkward because she forgets things, and, you know, the conversation doesn't flow because she haven't seen each other for a while. So it's awkward at times. But, you know, you just sit there and just bless her and just love her. And your life is changed. Who can you go and bless this week? Who can you go and celebrate this week? Take your eyes a little bit off yourself and see the Zacchaeuses who are just looking for someone to encourage them, someone to love them. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the person right next door to you. Just go and bring that person a cup of coffee in their stress and in their strain. Maybe, you know, students are always stressing. Eh? Students are running around and there's always stress. We have a great opportunity to say, well, just wait. Look at me. You know, God loves you. It's going to be okay. Encourage them. Give them a cup of coffee. Whatever. Let's be practical. Let's not be super spiritual out there. Amen. We pray a lot for people, but let's go and be our prayers. Let's go and be our hands and feet. Let's go and see the Zacchaeus is out there. So I want us to close our eyes tonight. Father, I want to thank you that you're speaking to us very clearly tonight, Lord. Your heart is for us, Lord. Your heart is to celebrate each one of us tonight, Lord. And I thank you that you do that. I thank you that you've already called most of us, Lord, out of darkness into your light, Lord. But this evening again, you're reminding us that you are celebrating each one of us every single day. You notice us, Lord, as we wake up every morning, Lord, as we stress and as we worry about the day, Lord. You see that and you're just looking and you're saying, come down, come. I want to dine with you. I want to give you the keys of life. You notice each one of us, Lord. You know where we're going, the challenges we're going through, the doubts and the fears, Lord. You want to set us free of so many things, Lord. Tonight we just surrender to you, Lord.